We have before us the opportunity to forge a new world order.
There is a man behind the curtain. This isn't the Wizard of Oz. The shakeup to the music business machine.
That sounds fun!
This is a far more deadly predator than anyone ever imagined.
Perfectly designed.
I wonder which came first.
Cyberfusion USA.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Neil Haley Network's Dr. Christopher Hall Show. And I'm excited to welcome the program Dr. Christopher Hall. Dr. Hall, how are you? And like you said, we've had such great stories every week, but this one is one of inspiration, but also heartache in so many ways, our guest. And I got the chance to chat with him for a short period of time. Luckily, this time I get a little bit longer with him. And I've watched the specials, and I couldn't imagine what this guy's gone through from the ups and downs and trials and tribulations in his life. Dr. Hall, how are you?
I'm doing great. I'm doing great. Still enjoying the fact that it's a new year, and certainly excited about our guest today.
All right, so let's go ahead and introduce him, and let's get started.
No problem. Well, it's my great pleasure and honor to welcome to the show former professional football player, now ESPN sports analyst, a gentleman who knows a lot about hard work, high points and low points of life. I'd like to welcome Mr. Ryan Leaf to the show. Welcome to the show, Ryan.
Thank you very much for having me. I appreciate it.
Now, Ryan, let's talk about this. And I remember, seeing your specific story. The first question I wanted to kind of delve into specifically, did you always want to be a football player? Because you have a lot of variety of interests. I remember watching the story on ESPN about you, and really, it's a powerful story. But did you always want to be a football star?
Well, I didn't want to be a football star. I wanted to be a football player. I wanted to be a professional athlete, whatever that looked like. For me, basketball was it for so long, and baseball, and then football became one that was probably the most feasible for me as an athlete, and I really excelled at it in college. I really enjoyed my time at Washington State. We accomplished things that had never been done there, and me personally as well, being a Heisman Trophy finalist, no one has ever done that at Washington State. And so it for me was about playing football. It wasn't about being a star ever. I think the star part of it actually was the problem part that ultimately reared its ugly head for me.
Interesting. And that's the hard part, is how do you handle that? So, all right, go ahead, Dr. Hall, with your question.
Yeah, no problem. And you know, that's the thing, particularly, when you have all that stratum, you're up in a situation, we have a whole lot, it's a lot coming at you one time. So how did you deal with that, Ryan? I know that's very difficult. How are you able to? I know a lot of people coming at you, whether it's, people want you to sponsor their stuff, or just, that's a really rough time when you first go into the NFL. So,
I dealt with it very poorly. I dealt with it very, very poorly. It was a thing where I thought I was better than everybody else simply because I could play this sport. And so I treated people poorly. I thought success was money, power, and prestige. I had all three, which would make me a success. And if you weren't in my league when it came to that stuff, you weren't worth my time. And of course, that is a very silly concept to think, just because you're a professional football player doesn't make you more important than anybody else. But I think in our country, the institutionalism of it all and how we place it on a pedestal, gives you a bigger sense of self-worth. And that's exactly where I was at. So of course, when things went poorly for me and like for most, you're not successful in the NFL. Most people fail in the NFL. That's the funny thing about all this. It's the average length of a career is 2.8 years. And those that play 15, 16, 17 years and are Hall of Famers, those guys are the exception to the rule. The rule is you are going to struggle. You're going to take what you can get, and you're going to be out of the league pretty darn quick. And I certainly wasn't prepared or willing to accept that that was actually a possibility, and to be a better person through that process.
So when you talk about, when did the ego start getting big, Ryan, and how did you treat others around you with that ego?
Probably eight to 10, 12 years old, you know, in a small hometown in Montana where you were placed on a pedestal. Consequences weren't different when you misbehaved or acted out because of what you could do on a baseball diamond or a football field or a basketball court. And I'm the only Montanan ever drafted in the first round of the NFL draft ever. There are more first round draft picks in the Manning family than the whole state of Montana. So there was a uniqueness I thought I had, which made me better than you. And, you know, I didn't partake in drinking or drugs or anything like that. I wanted to play. My first drug of choice really was competition, and that's all I cared about. And I had to win at everything, and I would destroy you in the process. So that didn't make me any friends. I just knew I had to be that way to get out of that small town and get to the professional level, whatever that looked like.
Dr. Hall, it's very interesting. He talks about, again, stardom and the fact of the matter of a drug. You talk about drugs in specific ways, the audience, the fans, the being on the field. Like when I was a professional wrestler, the crowd, how it was a drug, it was an addiction that I couldn't wait to perform. The same way when he was successful on the football field, he felt that. He felt that as something that just really gives you that high energy. And then the low comes, Dr. Hall. And I know you deal with that a lot of times, Dr. Hall, in the emergency room or different things where people are on a certain drug, and that drug will keep them so high. And then when that crash comes, look out.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah, you're totally right. And so that's the thing. Like, again, you know, when you're in a situation where you're an NFL player, particularly, you know, we're in Ryan's situation again, number two, behind Manning, and you know, you end up you may have in a party situation, but again, with athletes, what happens is they sometimes end up with just pain, you know, from just playing the sports, and they end up on prescription drugs written by physicians, basically, I would say, don't manage their pain, and so that's what happens.
Correct. So the question, Dr. Hall, you have for him is about how he handled like prescription drugs. He said he was not drinking or doing drugs when he was growing up, but during the NFL, the injuries came, right, Ryan? And then that's when you had to take the prescription drugs.
Well, I mean, I don't know if that's ever the case. I think that we deal with our pain threshold is higher than anything. The accessibility, like here's the quick fix. Here, this is what we have for you. I mean, in college, I didn't use painkillers, right? I mean, my bones had to be coming out of my body to get me off that field. At the next level, it just was, they just gave them to you. They just handed them to you. It's like, here, you know, this is how we get through the week. And, you know, I just wanted to play football. Okay. This is the way it works. But I mean, if somebody's handing you something and says, hey, you know, 10 years from now, you're going to be homeless. You're going to be, breaking into people's homes to get your fix. Do you look at taking that medication differently when they offer it to you? I'm pretty sure you do, but you also may not, because you may go, I want to play this game. But the thing is, none of that existed, right? I broke my thumb. I was beat up in high school, right? I mean, I got beat up like crazy. It separated shoulder, AC sprains, ankle injuries, torn meniscus that I played, all that stuff without the access or the use of painkillers while in college. So why would it be any different at the NFL level? It's because the accessibility is so prevalent. The idea that you can actually get it when you walk up on the plane, when you get on the plane to go home for road games, right? I mean, the fact that it was so accessible was the reason why I started using it, and for my peers used it to get through the week, and also it made me high. I liked it. I liked being able to void out and not be around, and I knew it when my career was over, and I had to deal with the emotional toll that there was an answer there. The thing that you used to get through the week to play and mask your physical pain. Now, when I was retired from the NFL, I could use to mask my emotional pain.
Right. And that's the thing when you talked about your addiction to the ego and stardom and being a star and a superstar, that is a form of an addiction. So you're more likely to pick up other things down the line, especially if you don't feel that high anymore as a star, as a person. You want to kind of not deal with certain things of
being, well, not me. I mean, I hated being in the public eye. Right, you know, right. I hated it. It wasn't the thing I wanted. So I used it to disappear is what I used it for. I didn't use it to mask the nuance of being in the public eye. I wanted to disappear. I didn't want anybody to know me. I didn't want anybody to be a part of me, but I'm also a narcissist. So, you know, I'm the guy that shows up at an event and is just thinking, please don't recognize me. Please don't recognize me. And then like 15 minutes later, I'm like, you know, why the hell isn't anybody recognizing me?
Oh, wow.
You know, that's the truest version of what a narcissist is. And I simply wasn't capable of dealing with life on life's terms at all because of my mental health. And the addiction is just a symptom. You know, the drugs that you use to self-medicate for that, that's just a symptom, right? You know, I was I deal with mental health illness, and I have for a long, long time. And it had gone on undiagnosed and unchecked. And I chose to self-medicate it myself and deal with the real issues in life in a negative and toxic way. That's all.
All right, Dr. Hall, what's your next question for Ryan Leaf?
Well, no problem. Yeah, you know, Ryan, he's such a heroic figure. And so, you know, my brother is actually in prison, has 1,300 years. And so, I mean, coming from the height of that, you know, being the NFL kind of superstar, and then you have to actually walk into these prison gates, you know, that's just, I mean, tell me about the strength that it took to go through something like that. I mean, this is, and you know, and then you obviously come around, and now you're doing great. You know, with rehab, and like I said, then you know, you're on ESPN. This is wonderful. But I really want to know what was that feeling like? You know, we had to walk through there.
Well, you're filled with a lot of shame, right? Because how could this be possible, right? You were a famous football playing superstar, right? So how is this possible? Well, it's entirely possible for anybody. Anybody, any economic or socioeconomic or anything, this is possible for anybody. Doesn't matter. And if you're not willing to, you know, do the next right thing in life, and when you approach the fork in the road, doing the healthy, positive thing, all of that's possible, right? You could be in prison. You could be, you know, addicted to any substance. You can, all of these things are available to you. So until you could find a freedom and understand that, like, your story isn't any more unique or less unique than anybody else who's dealing with what you're dealing with, you think it's you're special or something. Like me being in prison was which is what made me a victim. Like, you know, I've been through the ringer. You know, I don't mean to minimize my story at all, but you know, it was simply a rough patch that a lot of people navigate much healthier than I ever did, because, you know, they were more capable. When you're placed on that pedestal so early, you never have to deal with life on life's terms. You get things handed to you your whole life. So when you step in front of that judge and the judge looks at you and says, you have no worth to this community or society, I'm going to give you a number and warehouse you. You know, it's the first time that you'll ever be marginalized, and you better figure out quick that that's the way life is, or you're just going to stay in this vicious cycle over and over and over again. And that was the biggest test for me, not the shame and guilt of who I was and where I was in that point, because I got treated.
We have before us the opportunity to forge a new world order.
There is a man behind the curtain. This isn't the Wizard of Oz. The shakeup to the music business machine.
That sounds fun!
This is a far more deadly predator than anyone ever imagined.
Perfectly designed.
I wonder which came first.
Cyrus Mission USA.
Cyber Station USA is the future of radio. Get your business into the online future at the world's largest internet radio station. From banner placement on our homepage to any of our broadcaster stages, commercials on our video player, audio spots on any of our shows, or at the beginning of any of our on-demand broadcasts. Cyber Station USA offers competitive rates with a worldwide reach, a fully integrated one-stop shop social media broadcast platform. For more information, please contact our sales department at cameo@cyberstationusa.com.
Cameo Entertainment Group and CyberStation USA are now part of Stitcher, a free radio app for your smartphone. With Stitcher, you can listen to live programming as well as archive radio programming right on your phone. To obtain Stitcher, just go to the App Store for your particular phone. Go to search, then type in Stitcher. That's Stitcher. S-T-I-T-C-H-E-R.
S-T-I-T-C-H-E-R.
Then download. It's that simple.
Stitcher,
a free radio app for your smartphone. Convenient access to live and archive CyberStation USA programming on your mobile phone. That's Stitcher.
S-T-I-T-C-H-E-R.
CyberStation USA, always on the go.
Every so often you have technology come along that rewrite the rules of the game.
Digital culture isn't characterized by the home computer.
You speak instantly to a man standing on the shore of France.
The CyberStation, the USA, the .com.
Worldwide. Everything has changed.
A new age.
The biggest ride in all of history.
This is CyberStationUSA.com.
Worldwide.
This is the future.
The future.
Radio.
The future.
The future of radio.
And that really is the message.
Like a king in prison, right? People looked up to me, respected me. The damn warden wanted to put me in the honor pod when I first got there, which wasn't doing me any, you know, it's the same thing. You know, people enable people's behavior if they're superstars or if they're football players, and they're not any more or less important, like I said before. And that's the biggest shift I had to make and understand that that's who I was and where I was at.
And that's so true. And to realize that. So once you did that, how did you deal with being in the prison environment? We all know stories of prison. Was it truly what you thought of when you thought of prison when you first walked in, or was it something completely different than you expected?
Completely different. You're so fearful of going to prison and the idea of it and what it is. What it is it's not a deterrent. It's an adult daycare. It's another society in our country. We're the most heavily populated prison population in the world. And that's all it is. You know, everybody goes there. It's just another society. You got hustlers. You got people, preying on others. It's exactly that. The only difference is that it's surrounded in a cloud of what people like to call rehabilitation. But instead, people just get worse. You have to make a conscious choice when you're in there to change. Otherwise, you just get out and come back, or you never get out. That's the way it works. That's why it continues to be a for-profit business in our country. And so for me, it was just like, oh, okay, I can just sit on my ass and watch TV and get fat and do nothing and have no responsibility and get treated like a real special person. Yeah, I'm all in for that. You know, I don't have to cause anybody any more pain, but that's all I was doing, because who as a family wants your oldest son to continue to be in a cage, for the rest of their life? It was such a selfish move on my part to continue to stay there when I could have been released on parole, but I kept, you know, saying no and just sitting there. And it was probably one of the most selfish things I did, but it is certainly not a deterrent for anybody. People will continue to go back and go back and go back because, you know, they get everything they need while they're in there. They think they want their freedom, but they have plenty of freedom in there, they believe.
And Dr. Hall, because of your brother going to prison, do you understand?
Right.
Do you hear the same thing from him? That what he thinks of prison and his outlook on prison?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, just different society. There's different rules. I mean, they have a barter system in which they can, you know, exchange things. So definitely, yeah. But the point I want to bring out is that prescription drugs are really most people addicted to drugs are from prescription drugs, not from what you buy from the street. What happens is whenever you have a lot of money, you end up in an environment like that. And there's a fine line between recreational use and addiction. And doctors get themselves in the same position because they tend to make a lot of money. Actors, NFL players, anyone who making a lot of money. So.
was given that point. Gotcha, Dr. Hall. That's a great point you made. And from the prescription drugs, it's not as easy as, okay, when you have an addiction, how do you beat it, right? Once it's something, you know, get rid of your, you know, kind of anxiety and nervousness at times of wanting to be left alone, yet you have that ego, you want to people to recognize you, you're like torn in so many ways, Ryan, right? Well, you know, this makes me feel so good, but yet it's so bad for me. I want to stop it.
I don't know. I don't know if you ever, once you're addicted, it becomes a necessity to feel that way. There's not much thought that goes into it. It's just a matter of, hey, I need to not feel this. I need to not feel the feelings I'm having, and I have an answer, and it works well, and I like it. So therefore, that's how I went about it. There really isn't much thought in it. There isn't a deterrent or anybody that can stop you either, until you're willing to finally stop yourself. And it usually takes intervention. In my case, it took the sheriff's department of my hometown in Great Falls to come and save my life.
And that's crazy to understand. Some people have those stories, and then kind of tell us the story. So when they came to you, when did you just say, I got to turn this around? Because again, it's so hard for somebody to happen. So what made you just say, I got to turn it around?
I mean, I don't know. You know, even when I walked out, I had this hope that I had developed while in prison because of my roommate. He was an Afghan Iraqi war veteran. He got me committed to being of service to others while in there, teaching prisoners who didn't know how to read, And I found that I had developed this hope. But I mean, you have no idea when you walk out of prison. You have zero idea. You know, the rule is you go back. So, you know, the odds that I'm sitting here telling you this story right now, you know, were, you know, 100 to 1 against me. That's just how it was. So it took forward motion then. It took taking those practices while in prison when no one's watching, when no one cares, just about you being of service to somebody else and applying that out in society, in your community. And that's exactly what I did. Once I got out of treatment, after leaving prison, I went to work for a company in Southern California, initially at the beginning, that paid me $15 an hour. And the only reason I tell anybody that is because I was making $5 million a year and felt miserable all the time. And I was a miserable person. And I was now being offered a job for 15 bucks an hour and felt more value than I'd ever felt in my life. So of course, my perspective had been shifted and changed. And the start of that, being of service to others, is just absolutely, you know, ballooned into amazing opportunities in my life. If I'd have told you that, you know, 5 years ago when I walked out of prison that I'd be working for the Disney Corporation, I would have told you were nuts. That's not something that was a feasible thing then in my mind at all. And here we are. So it's day by day. It is absolutely one foot in front of the other. I wish I could carry individuals 18 months down the line and show them what their life could look like with that dedication to being of service of others and being sober. But I can't, you know, those 18 months build a lot of foundation for people with pain and suffering and the stuff that will, you know, maintain them for a long, long time. But I'm glad I'm able to go on the journey with them now and be of support and be of service to those people.
All right, Dr. Hall, what's your next question for Ryan?
Wow, it's really an incredible story. Well, you know, we've had a number of NFL players on the show, and we talk always about the importance of that college degree, you know. And so I know that Ryan studied journalism at Washington State. And so tell us how important that was for you, Ryan, to focus on academics, earn that degree. Tell us about that. We know there's a lot of young people listening to the show, and I'm sure they want to.
Yeah. Well, I went back. You know, I left to go and play pro football early, and I'd always promised my mother I'd get my degree. So, you know, it was an interesting time. It was after I had quit playing in the NFL. I felt shame and felt like a failure, and I went back to where I was a superstar in college and just felt all that shame and everything. And I went to class, but I was just completely tied up in my addiction. Luckily, somehow I was able to finish those last 3 credits and get my degree. And it's wonderful to have that diploma hanging on the wall, and it's important for my mom and stuff like that. You know, education is wonderful, but in this day and age, as long as you have a purpose, if there's something purposeful to what you do, an education can get you so far. There's a ton of people out there right now with college degrees and master's degrees that are unemployed. And that's not the end all be all. It's a purposeful life, whatever that looks like. And usually if you have a college degree and a master's degree, you have a purpose and you have an understanding and you want to propel that forward. But, you know, that for me isn't necessarily the end all be all, right? It's about a purposeful life because, I mean, what I'm getting to do now with my broadcast journalism degree, I'm getting to put that to use. But what really made me stable and honest and hardworking at the beginning of this process and working in recovery and working with treatment facilities and stuff like that, you know, that degree didn't come into hand at all. It was all about a purpose driven life in terms of that. And anybody can do that. And I think that's very important to people who are newly getting out of prison. I mean, when I was in the prison cell, right, I was like the only one in that entire prison that had a college degree.
Wow.
So yeah. It's important to tell the individuals when they get out of prison that they can have this life, you know, without a college degree. That may never happen for them. That doesn't mean they can't be the person that succeeds and excels and doesn't have to go back to prison. And I think that's an important message to continue to put out there.
Now, let's talk about starting a podcast. That's different than doing journalism in a lot of ways, right? Would you say like covering the NFL or doing certain things where it's quick sound bites? When you decided to come up and do a podcast, what was your thoughts, first of all, when someone asked you about that? Because this is
it was not even a podcast, right? This was an idea that my one of my really good friends, and at the time he was kind of working as my publicist. We were talking together, like, how do we put together our own content? You know, I want to do my own show kind of on the Pac-12 or something like that. How do we do something like that? And then he just brainstormed, and he has been amazing. His name's Bron Houston Stamp. And he came to me with this idea. He said, hey, thinking about putting together this podcast network called Believe Podcast Network. I'd love for you to get in on the ground floor and help invest and build the product with me. And I was like, yeah, this was a no brainer for me. You know, I think we started this with no money. And surprisingly, only two other individuals took him up on this offer.
Oh my gosh.
And now Believe Podcast Network has over 250 shows. You know, we're growing and growing every single day. My show, with my co-host Jonathan Rifkin is called Pac-12, Believe in the Pac-12. And it's, during the football season, we usually do two podcasts a week. In the off season, we're going to do some basketball stuff and just keep it going. It's just a way to get content out there for people who want to hear about their local teams. And at first we thought about it just being about LA. And of course we've expanded more and more, but, you know, the fact that I own a podcast network is crazy to me and to see how successful it was. But it's a man, my one of my good friends, Bron, who just simply had a vision and has put in a ton of hard work. And I've kind of got to come along for the ride and utilize my broadcasting talents to make a podcast show and really, you know, inform and help others. So it's been great fun. I'm looking forward to seeing how it grows more and more. If we've done this in a year and a half, I can't imagine what, you know, a year and a half down the line, the company looks like.
And that's fantastic. And that's why I like to definitely promote that. And one thing, I don't know if Cam and Bron mentioned to you, I'm writing for Podcast Magazine now. So it's kind of a mixture interview for my nationally syndicated show, but also I'm promoting to help talk about so we'll talk a little bit more of the podcasting. But Dr. Hall started my show with me about how many, 4 or 5 months ago. And Dr. Hall, much of what you learned about doing your show with me and me co-hosting, getting to talk to these celebrities in a variety of fields and all the challenges they've gone through, Dr. Hall.
That's true, yes. And it's been very exciting. And we've been bringing forth a lot of very inspiring stories that the young people across America can listen to and further give direction in their life. And so I think that Ryan's story is one certainly of that. So
absolutely, Ryan.
It's very exciting.
So owning your own podcast network, but let's talk about, you know, how much time do you spend a week in preparation for each one of the shows, especially during the season?
Well, luckily for me, you know, being on the ESPN platform, you know, I travel around all season and call football games. But then I also do a SiriusXM satellite radio show every morning called Pac-12 This Morning. And So every morning from 7 to 10 a.m. So I'm inundated with 3 hours of content daily of the Pac-12. So when Jonathan, my co-host, comes in on Monday mornings and Thursdays, you know, the content's there. I don't have to prepare that much, you know, especially when you're doing a podcast. Do something where you have just a ton of knowledge, and you got to do a, you got to do research, of course, but you have a ton of knowledge on it. You can talk for 15.
We have before us the opportunity to forge a new world order.
There is a man behind the curtain. This isn't the Wizard of Oz. The shakeup to the music business machine.
That sounds fun!
This is a far more deadly predator than anyone ever imagined.
Perfectly designed.
I wonder which came first.
CyberStation USA is the future of radio. Get your business into the online future at the world's largest internet radio station. From banner placement on our homepage to any of our broadcaster stages, commercials on our video player, audio spots on any of our shows, or at the beginning of any of our on-demand broadcasts. CyberStation USA offers competitive rates with a worldwide reach, a fully integrated one-stop shop social media broadcast platform. For more information, please contact our sales department at cameo@cyberstationusa.com.
Cameo Entertainment Group and CyberStation USA are now part of Stitcher, a free radio app for your smartphone. With Stitcher, you can listen to live programming as well as archive radio programming right on your phone. To obtain Stitcher, just go to the App Store for your particular phone. Go to search, then type in Stitcher. That's Stitcher. S-T-I-T-C-H-E-R.
S-T-I-T-C-H-E-R.
Then download. It's that simple. Stitcher, a free radio app for your smartphone. Convenient access to live and archive CyberStation USA programming on your mobile phone. That's Stitcher.
S-T-I-T-C-H-E-R.
CyberStation USA. Always on the go.
Every so often you have technology come along that rewrite the rules of the game.
Digital culture isn't characterized by the home computer.
You speak instantly to a man standing on the shore of France.
The CyberStation, the USA, the .com.
Worldwide.
Everything has changed.
A new age.
The biggest ride in all of history.
This is CyberStationUSA.com.
Worldwide.
This is the future.
The future.
Radio.
The future.
The future of radio.
And that really is the message.
...20, 30 minutes, however long your podcast goes, and truly be informed. And that for me is what makes it so great, is that I'm able to do that and then just take it one step further and put it into another piece of content for others who just want to take a listen to me and Jonathan and go forward.
And the fun thing is that you don't have to listen to ESPN to tell you what you should do or not, or working for somebody else. This is your baby, and you could say it the way you want to say it. And that's the nice thing.
Yeah, no, it is. I mean, this is our thing. The great thing about the podcast network is that it does all the heavy lifting for you, right? It puts it out there. I mean, you could do this on your own. I had a buddy of mine ask, well, why don't you just do it on your own? Well, they do all the marketing. They do all the they have all the graphics. They put people in touch with one another. There's so many people out there that want to get into this business and are willing to come and do their own shows and things like that. But they have this additional infrastructure that allows you to simply go and record your podcast, do the thing you know and love, and then it gets placed out there in the network, markets it, helps you get guests, and has a marketing arm that you simply wouldn't be able to do on your own, or you don't want to do on your own. You don't want to have to do that yourself. You just don't. And that's what makes it so great with the Believe Podcast Network.
And see, Dr. Hall's, I do everything for Dr. Hall. I book the guests, come up with questions. Dr. Hall just has to show up and come up with some questions, right? and he's a busy emergency room doctor, right, Chris, that kind of explained that to Ryan, that I kind of do the same stuff that the Believe Podcast Network does for Ryan and all the great hosts.
Exactly. Yes, you pretty much find these inspiring guests, book these hosts, and you schedule the days. And so, and you try to work around my schedule. And so, yeah, I mean, it's great to have you taking care of that. So,
exactly. And that's the thing people don't understand is a podcast, and Ryan, you could speak about this from research, I'm sure, owning I Believe, you have to look at how big podcasting's getting. Do you think that traditional radio is only going to be in specific areas at one point in time with all these podcasts? And every year, every day, new podcasts develop.
Well, you know, Pandora just bought, or SiriusXM just bought Pandora. I mean, so it's not going away, right? I mean, that's always going to be a medium that exists. I think the podcast is just a great other, content option for people who are on the go. You know, sometimes they don't have their satellite radio. You know, the app exists, but some people may not have it. And iTunes and podcasts exist for things in the podcast network realm. And ultimately, it may be one conglomerate that has all this media content. But I think no matter what, it's the consumer. And if they're willing to absorb and listen to your product, it doesn't matter where it truly comes from.
For your show in general, we won't talk about the Believe podcast, but where do you want to see this show go? What are your goals for this show? Especially, you want to be the Pac-10 source of podcasting. What is the whole hope for doing this?
Yeah, I mean, I just want to be able to continue to get content out there. People are begging for it, especially from the Pac-12 network side of things, right? Because the Pac-12 network is very low on their content, their TV content in particular, because they don't get out to a lot of markets, right? Without DirecTV being a part of it. So a lot of people are not informed with the Pac-12. So our hope is that we could ultimately down the line, the bigger the Believe Podcast Network gets, that we get a studio here locally in Los Angeles and we can do some simulcasting from there. So we can continue to produce more content for people and give them more of a viewing option as well as the audio option with what you do.
And that's important because, as you said before, it's about where the audience comes, the growth, where to go next. As an entrepreneur, which all three of us on this line are entrepreneurs in certain aspects, you with the Believe podcast, with my internet radio station, national syndicated radio show, tutoring business, and Dr. Hall with his book and trying to serve young people, you have to have that just absolute believe in yourself that you're going to grow. Because Dr. Hall, if we don't push ourselves to grow, what's going to happen to us?
Well, exactly. I mean, you kind of, you'll be stagnant. You won't grow. And eventually, you know, your brand will just disappear. So, yeah.
So true. And so from that process, you talked about you always being an introvert versus an extrovert in certain ways. Has this been hard for you going to the journalism in that way when you talk about some of the struggles you had when you were a player and all that stuff and how you wanted to disappear at times being a member of the media?
No, I think that once you find that freedom, where, you know, I don't take myself very seriously, and you know what other people think of me is none of my business, all that stuff. Once you truly believe that, and that's what I think true humility is, it's just having an understanding of who you are regardless of what anybody else thinks, says, or does to or about you. I think that's when you finally have that acceptance and that peace, it doesn't matter. You know, you're doing a service and helping other people and doing your job well. I mean, I enjoy what I do when it comes to the sports broadcasting side of things, and I want to be the best I can at it. And I love to do that. So I'm going to continue to do that and, live by those mantras of what other people think of me. It's none of my business. And that usually leads in the right direction.
Ryan, what advice would you offer podcasters that want to be in the sports podcasting genre? What would you offer them? They wanted to start their own show, cover journalistic sports or something involving sports, interviewing sports athletes. What advice would you offer them?
You know, just to go do it, you know, period. I mean, if you're waiting for somebody else to help you through that process, it's not going to happen, right? You have to essentially make your own destiny when it comes to this stuff. And it's so easy nowadays, right? You can do that with the social media platforms and everything like that. You can record little 1-minute videos and put them on your Twitter page, right? You know, you get a following. Dan Orlovsky, who's become one of the best broadcasters in the business, simply when he retired from the NFL, started doing breakdowns on his Twitter page. And the likes of the NFL Network and ESPN came a calling because they thought he was really smart and he was informative. And what he did helped further the conversation of what they were trying to do. And he put himself in a position to have leverage because he was really good at it. And that's what I recommend everybody. He wasn't getting paid for it, right? He wasn't doing anything for money. He was putting it on his Twitter page for everybody to see. If you're good at something and you feel like you can be purposeful in what you do, everybody should be allowed and to see that. And it's entirely up to you to put that content out there. And I implore anybody who wants to get into the broadcasting side of things, the podcasting side of things, and the topic of conversation can be anything, right? You can be health and wellness. It can be sports driven. It can be anything, cooking, all of it. It's a day. It's a time and age where people are absorbing content like that like crazy.
That's why I'm excited about being the sports director for Podcast Magazine, Ryan. And you'll have to look into it more, that because it's another avenue I was asked to write. And that's another thing that's going out of my comfort zone. Writing's definitely not my thing. So I have to get used to the short sound bites when I answer questions, to getting as much information as possible in an interview so that it could be that. And that's the thing. Podcasting is so hot and people need to learn more about it, and anyone could do one. But yet it's different than a blog in the fact that you really put yourself out there more doing a podcast than a blog, because anyone could edit it from beginning to end, and anyone could create a blog, but there's not everyone could do a podcast unless they had the gumption and the willingness to do it. Dr. Hall, let's go ahead and summarize Ryan really quickly. You always do our summary before the end of the show.
But no problem. You know, well, there we have it. From a small town in Montana to Heisman Trophy finalists to $5 million and then to behind iron bars. And now a motivational example for a lot of people across the country, a very heroic figure. A lot we can learn from Ryan. I'm very impressed. And I'm wishing him all the best in the future.
Thank you very much, Doc.
And
yes, sir.
Ryan, best place we can find about the Believe podcast, your and all your brand stuff. First, go give us all the different places we can go.
Yeah, I mean, the Believe Podcast Network, you can find it anywhere you get your podcast, iTunes, I mean, anywhere we're available. You can reach out to me on Twitter at Ryan D. Leaf, as well as my website, theryandleaf.com. Just really appreciate the opportunity and keep doing what you're doing, guys. Appreciate it.
Well, we will, and we'll promote this as much as possible, especially on my platforms and Podcast Magazine. So I appreciate you coming on.
You bet.
Thanks, Ryan, for coming on. Appreciate you.
All right, take care, guys. Thanks. All right, bye-bye. That was the Dr. Christopher Hall Show, everybody. Take care. Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Neil Haley Network's Thinking Through the Trees Show, and I'm excited to welcome to the program Michael Chappie. Michael, how are you? We're ready for another exciting guest. We went from our last episode really delving into history, but now we got something current. So I'm excited to welcome the program actor Alberto Zeni. Alberto, thanks for calling. How are you?
Hey, I'm great. How are you doing, guys?
Good.
On the show.
So where are you calling from? LA right now? Are you in LA?
I am in Los Angeles right now. Yes.
Tell us the weather. We're both in Pittsburgh. So what's the weather like in LA?
Well, today's actually very sunny, very nice. It was cold until yesterday, pretty much. But today is actually really nice. How about there?
Oh, what's the weather like, Michael? It's a little bit warmer than yesterday. It's been freezing the last couple of days, but it's still terrible. You would not want to know the weather in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania.
38 and raining.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
And we're happy with 38 raining.
Is pretty cold.
Yeah, it was getting so cold. It was getting down to fives a couple days ago, right, Michael? Almost like that, right?
Yeah, almost five, yeah.
So, wow. All right.
That's great. So, are you covered in snow, or what's going
no,
on?
No, we've not had that much snow.
Crazy, no snow.
Knock on wood, we've not had a snowstorm yet, except a little bit, but nothing big.
You're not plowing to get out of your homes.
No, we're not. Pittsburgh, at least, is not getting hit badly, except we could have a March storm or a February storm or a storm this weekend. What we call like our grocery store, a Giant Eagle storm. So again, I need to get a plug from Giant Eagle as a sponsor. The Giant Eagle storm, we call it, because it's like our grocery store. And then they end up having this big one where they're calling for a big snowstorm and it doesn't happen. All right. So Alberto, did you always want to be an actor? Is that something you always wanted to do?
No. It's actually very funny. When I was a kid, I wanted to be an inventor. And I would, you know, when I was a kid, all of these 80s movies of kids having these contraptions created that where they place a ball and that ball rolled down and hit something else and that something else hit something else, and that it was a whole mechanism that was working. That was kind of the epitome of what I was doing with my childhood. And then at some point I started grabbing my dad's car stereos and just pretty much picking them apart. And I could never put them back together. So he wasn't very happy about that. And but I wanted to see what was inside. I was always very curious about those things. And then, you know, life happened. I actually went on to get a degree in electronics. And in the meantime, I started getting involved with music and dance and entertainment in general. And so I started doing music for a theme park down in Monterrey, which is where I'm from. And from then on, it just started developing. And I released an album, and I was on the radio for a couple of weeks. And that was pretty much the end of my musical career. And then I started getting invites to do musical plays. And then from then on, I started falling in love with acting. And, you know, one thing after the other, I got invited to have a scholarship in Mexico City. I moved to Mexico City, and then it just my career kind of launched from there. And I literally fell in love with acting.
And that's the fun thing, is once you fall in love with something, you're an inventor, and you can invent your own stuff someday, Alberto, right? With that creativity that someday...
We have before us the opportunity to forge a new world order.
There is a man behind the curtain. This isn't the Wizard of Oz. The shakeup to the music business machine.
That sounds fun!
This is a far more deadly predator than anyone ever imagined.
Perfectly designed.
I wonder which came first.
CyberStation USA.
CyberStation USA is the future of radio. Get your business into the online future at the world's largest internet radio station. From banner placement on our homepage to any of our broadcaster stages, commercials on our video player, audio spots on any of our shows, or at the beginning of any of our on-demand broadcasts. CyberStation USA offers competitive rates with a worldwide reach, a fully integrated one-stop shop social media broadcast platform. For more information, please contact our sales department at cameo@cyberstationusa.com.
Cameo Entertainment Group and CyberStation USA are now part of Stitcher, a free radio app for your smartphone. With Stitcher, you can listen to live programming as well as archive radio programming right on your phone. To obtain Stitcher, just go to the App Store for your particular phone. Go to search, then type in Stitcher. That's Stitcher. S-T-I-T-C-H-E-R.
S-T-I-T-C-H-E-R.
Then download. It's that simple. Stitcher, a free radio app for your smartphone. Convenient access to live and archived CyberStation USA programming on your mobile phone. That's Stitcher.
S-T-I-T-C-H-E-R.
CyberStation USA. Always on the go.
Every so often you have technology come along that rewrite the rules of the game.
Digital culture isn't characterized by the home computer.
You speak instantly to a man standing on the shore of France.
The CyberStation, the USA, the .com.
Worldwide.
Everything has changed.
A new age.
The biggest ride in all of history.
This is CyberStationUSA.com.
Worldwide.
This is the future.
The future.
Radio.
The future.
The future.
The future of radio.
And that really is the message.
You'll say, okay, you'll be doing more than just acting, it sounds like, with what your interests were before.
Well, I'm doing it right now, actually. And we can definitely talk about it if you want a little later. Right now, we're launching a platform that is social media for crowdfunding any kind of project, any kind of innovation, any kind of content. It doesn't matter what it is that you do, you're going to be able to keep inventing or reinventing yourself or innovating in whatever industry you're in, and get the community to help you fund it and develop those new technologies, new ideas, new
great idea
recipes, new sports, new everything.
We're going to talk about that at the end. But what Michael has different questions that probably did
sure.
not know about those, and I'm sure it's about Narcos and other things. So, Michael, with your first question for Alberto.
So I watched one of your movies, obviously, The Crash. Like, I mean, obviously, you're a banker. And so that's just crazy that I never even knew that happened.
Yeah. I guess. Yeah,
crazy.
Yeah, you know, that was a very interesting movie. I got in the tail end of that movie, and I got a very small role in that. My participation was very, very small. The whole concept of the movie, the way it was put together, the people involved, it was just very interesting, and for whatever reason, it did not hit the market the way people intended it, having all those names and all the people behind the project. But you know, that's the nature of the business. You know, sometimes people relate to the stories better than others, and sometimes, you know, people are more interested or not, and you know, it's just how it is. But every experience is interesting. That was actually one of the first project I did in English. It was kind of my initiation in the speaking in English in a dramatic project. So
right,
that was an
that's what I was
for sure.
So where can I watch Crash?
I read that. That was your first.
So Alberto, where can I watch Crash? Is that on Amazon, or where can I watch that? Because I'm interested in adding that to my list.
You know what? I actually don't know. Michael, where do you watch it?
I watched it on Internet Movie Database.
Okay.
Okay, IMDb.
Okay, all right. We'll have to
check. There you go. Yeah.
Michael has all the insights.
That's the new one I've been watching. Right. It's got commercials.
If you want to watch something, I don't know if you like subtitles, but if you want to watch something that is very funny, that was very light, that's actually one of the biggest films in Mexico in the last 50 years. It's called The Noble Family, and I have a bigger role on that movie.
Yes,
and it's hilarious. It's hysterical.
And it's quite funny.
See, Michael's definitely in that. Right now, I'm binge watching Suits, so I'm only watching that specifically, and also watching. I'm watching the show you said.
Meghan Markle.
I'm in season six. It's 133 episodes. I'm in season six. But all right, go, Michael. Your next question.
So getting back to I did watch some episodes on Prime Video. You got to rent them, but The Noble Family, it was very funny. What, how did you get involved in that project?
That I was in the middle of creating a few projects and being part of a few projects down in Mexico City. And I got invited to be part of that project. My agent at the time just was moving around, talking to everybody. And, since I already had a mid-level, if you will, career down in Mexico, they called me up and they basically offered me the role to be a part of that movie. The role is like a supporting character that is quite funny because it's this very snob-ish guy that it's trying to set up a restaurant with one of the main guys, and it's just like he's kissing ass, but he actually has money, but he for whatever reason, he admires this other guy who's supposed to be from Spain, but it ends up not being from Spain. And it was just an interesting character to play. I also have the only and single sex scene in the entire piece. So it's worth it. It was worth
it. That's pretty, So, okay. So, the restaurant. So I'm a big fan of, Rick Bayless, he's a chef in the United States, and he goes to Monterey quite a bit for his cooking.
Monterey,
show.
Mexico? Monterey,
Mexico.
Oh, really?
And so
okay.
I'm just quite interested about the food scene in Monterey.
Well, Monterey is was a town that was founded by Jewish and Arab people. So most of the food we have as specialty food from the region is Middle Eastern. So we have goat, and the way we prepare the goat, it's like they open it up from the middle. They kind of open the arms, and they place it on the fire, and they keep spinning it. And it's like a very Arab way to prepare it. And then they cook the blood, and they make a soup dish, and then there's a lot of plant-based dishes as well. So it's a lot of meat, and it's also a lot of salads that go with those meats. It's like if you ever visited the Middle East, you would pretty much eat the same kind of food. So it's sometimes it's heavy, but it's super delicious. You definitely, if you go to Monterrey, you definitely have to have cabrito. That's how we call it.
Okay.
Goat.
All right. Okay.
Goat.
Okay.
So yeah. I never know what kind of questions Michael's going to ask Alberto, but what style of actor do you consider yourself? I'm interested in knowing your style.
Well, this is very interesting. This is one of the things that I started my career with as an idea, as a goal, was to follow steps of people like Daniel Day-Lewis, like Brad Dourif, like, people like that have, they're character actors. They can play like substantially different roles. They dive into these new scenarios every time, and they pretty much develop all these new personalities with each job that they do. And that was originally the idea. Apparently, I did it so much that eventually people didn't know where to place me, and so they would look at me like, "Well, you've done this, and you've done that, and you've done that." But I don't really see you doing this one thing that I need. It's like, well, I mean, it's obvious because I'm doing so many things that I can perform that. So I started kind of reining in down back into myself and trying to put more of my own persona into my acting. So it becomes a little more in tune with who I am. Even if I can do a character, I get to enjoy it more now as an actor to be myself or be closer to myself in relationship to the character. So I dive into myself and I grab a lot of the pieces of who I am, of how I see the world, and just incorporate them in the character, add it to the context of the story, and add it to other pieces that I put together from other sources. Like my role, for example, in Narcos. This is a man whose name is Amat Palacios, and this guy is a combination of a lot of people that I've met in my life. Some people that have been involved in the public service, and people that I know that were kind of violent, or people that are great with strategies, or people that are just very silent. Those quiet people that go in the back of the room until they feel safe, and then they get to talk to the people in front of us. That Amat's character is, he's a former policeman in Mexico, but has a very close relationship to the United States. So he speaks English the way I speak English, and he speaks Spanish the way I speak Spanish. So it has the ability to be dual in that sense. So he has a great relationship with the DEA because he can communicate the same way they do. And he also has a great communication skills with the Mexican side because he's lived there, he's worked there, and he's Mexican. So, that duality makes him a very invaluable piece to the team that in this season is very much against everything you've ever seen in the prior four seasons. The DEA team is a rogue team that now comes in infiltrating the territory illegally. They have no rules. They have no bureaucratic processes that they need to talk to anybody above their head, that ask for permission or respond to anybody. So now it's a free for all environment. So they're going to do whatever they need to get to know who killed Kiki Camarena, which was the Michael Peña role in the last season. And it gets very exciting.
Okay. I'm really looking forward to that second season. So,
Michael, are you a fan of this show? I didn't get a chance to put it on my list yet.
Yeah, I've watched the first season, and there's some really great actors on in the first season. Like he just said, Michael Peña. There's Diego Luna, who was also in one of my favorite Star Wars movies, Rogue One. And, there's just a bunch of great actors in this show. So that's another one you're going to have to put on, Neil.
I have to put it on my list.
You should definitely watch it.
So I'm going to plug a new podcast that's Under the Radar, and that's also a plug saying Under the Radar, because now I write for Podcast Magazine, and the first edition of Podcast Magazine will be coming out in February. But I'm not doing entertainment. I'm doing sports. But just bringing up Under the Radar, there's an Under the Radar podcast called What's Your Effin' Binge?, where they get somebody on to guess what you're binge watching. And then after you're finished with it, they guess it, they have to binge it and then review it. It's a really fun show. And that's where I mentioned Suits. So, but I will put that on my list, Narcos, for sure. And I really think that, did you think it was going to be that successful, Alberto, where really people were talking about it and really into this show when you first auditioned?
You see, well, I auditioned 7 times for this show. I auditioned 5 years. And
we have before us the opportunity to forge a new world order.
There is a man behind the curtain. This isn't the Wizard of Oz. The shakeup to the music business machine.
That sounds fun!
This is a far more deadly predator than anyone ever imagined.
Perfectly designed.
I wonder which came first.
CyberStation USA.
CyberStation USA is the future of radio. Get your business into the online future at the world's largest internet radio station. From banner placement on our homepage to any of our broadcaster stages, commercials on our video player, audio spots on any of our shows, or at the beginning of any of our on-demand broadcasts. CyberStation USA offers competitive rates with a worldwide reach, a fully integrated one-stop-shop social media broadcast platform. For more information, please contact our sales department at cameo@cyberstationusa.com.
Cameo Entertainment Group and CyberStation USA are now part of Stitcher, a free radio app for your smartphone. With Stitcher, you can listen to live programming as well as archive radio programming right on your phone. To obtain Stitcher, just go to the App Store for your particular phone. Go to search, then type in Stitcher. That's Stitcher. Stitcher.
Stitcher.
Then download. It's that simple.
Stitcher,
a free radio app for your smartphone. Convenient access to live and archive CyberStation USA programming on your mobile phone. That's Stitcher.
Stitcher.
CyberStation USA. Always on the go.
Every so often you have technology come along that rewrite the rules of the game.
Digital culture isn't characterized by the home computer.
You speak instantly to a man standing on the shore of France.
The CyberStation, the USA, the .com.
Worldwide.
Everything has changed.
A new age.
The biggest ride in all of history.
This is CyberStationUSA.com.
Worldwide.
This is the future.
The future.
Radio. The future.
The future of radio.
And that really is the message.